This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
Jesus is part of the fellowship of his suffering is this. He suffered to obtain the victories that we didn't have. He suffered so we can now have healing. He suffered so we can now be made righteous. He suffered because now we can be made whole, okay? Now, he's not expecting for us to go through the same suffering to try to get what he's already gotten. That wouldn't make sense. He suffered because he needed to get what we didn't have.
There is a purpose for your life. Introducing Grace Life Academy, an innovative approach to learning God's Word. Grace Life Academy offers unlimited access with hundreds of hours of online teachings. You'll have access to comprehensive video Bible lessons that include features such as e-courses, study guides, an online community, quizzes, and more. Text GLA to 51555 or go online to mygracelifeacademy.com.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
Now let's look at the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 10, first through the King James and then the NLT. And I want to talk to you about this discomfort. This is not anything we should complain about. Well, I'm in the midst of discomfort. You're not the only one, and you won't ever be the only one. Every man or woman who's alive will understand the place of pain and the place of discomfort. But it's designed so that we ultimately can mature into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. First in the King James, 1 Peter chapter 5 and 10, he says, verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus Christ, or by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, he's going to make you perfect after you suffered a while. He'll establish you after you suffered a while. He'll strengthen you after you suffer a while, and he'll settle you after you've suffered a while. The NLT says it like this. He says, in his kindness, God called us to share in his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore you. After you've suffered a little while, he will support you. After you've suffered a little while, he'll strengthen you. He will place you on a firm foundation. Now, I'm not here to talk about where the suffering came from, whether, you know, God did it or the devil did it. All I know is the Bible says, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. And all I know is that, you know, when people won't allow God to teach them, life will, you know. There'll be some things to happen in your life to help you to understand that you need God, all right? And you can grow in those particular areas. So one of the things I want to submit to you is that suffering is the catalyst, or let me use a synonym, the stimulus, or the, it's the thing that will ultimately kind of help you to understand that you can grow from what you go through. You don't have to quit from what you go through. You can go. Suffering will encourage Christ-likeness. Somebody says, I don't believe that. Keep living. It will be the catalyst for Christ-likeness. See, Jesus suffered with us, even though he already suffered for us. And that's powerful. He suffered for us, but he's also willing to suffer with us. Now go to Romans chapter 8 and 29. Romans 8 and 29. I tell you, the devil's going to be in trouble, because all of the stuff he's been able to do to move you, once you understand what's going on, you're not going to be able to be moved. In fact, he's going to get frustrated. I used to could do this to you 5 years ago, and this would happen. And now you'll say to him, I'm not like I was 5 years ago. I have grown. You are not dealing with the same person you dealt with 5 years ago. And I just thank God for that. I thank God we have a growing, maturing church. That life can't do to you what it used to do to you and expect for the same thing to happen. Maybe you would curl up and cry 5 years ago. Now you will turn to your scripture and read the word and pray in the Holy Ghost or call somebody and bless them. God wants to mature you. Now look at this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did, he predestined. I mean, before time, he predestined for us to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Now, here's what God said. Each of us, he has predestined for us to be conformed into the image of Jesus. The objective of this life, that when it is over with, as Christians, that we look like Christ, that we're being conformed. Right now, all the stuff you're going through, you're being conformed into the image of Jesus. All the stuff you've been through, you're being conformed into the image of Jesus. Might not look like it, might not feel like it, but you're gonna wake up one day and realize you got more love operating now than you had before. You have more empathy operating in your life than ever before. You're more generous than ever before. The stuff you'll give somebody now, you wouldn't even thought about giving it to them before. You're being conformed, glory to God. All of the stuff that you've had to go through, every time you got knocked down, disappointed, all this stuff, all of it, God says, I'm gonna take all of the mess that you've had to encounter in your life, and as long as you keep pursuing me, I'm gonna use it. I'm gonna mold you. I'm the potter. You're the clay. I'm gonna make you after my will. You're going to look back one day and you're going to just, you remember that song, My Soul Looks Back and Wonder How I Got Over? Well, I'm telling you how you got over. It was Jesus that was helping you over. All right? So now how does this work? We're being conformed, predestined to be conformed into the image of his son so that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. All right, Philippians chapter 3 and 10. Let me do this, and that'll be our summary, and I think we can move on. Philippians chapter 3 and 10. He says that I may know him. Now, I think this past week the Lord said to me that Christianity without a relationship with the Christ is nothing but religion that keeps you in bondage. Think about it. What is Christianity if you don't have a relationship with Jesus? If all Christianity is in your life is coming to church, learning the rule, and trying to keep the rule, then your Christianity is nothing but a religion. But real Christianity has relationship with the Christ, so you can come to know him. So you don't have to act like a Christian when church is over with. You're just walking in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You ain't got to be cautious of who's around or who saw you at the mall. And you're gonna act like you act because you know Christ. You're not gonna act like you act because you're afraid somebody watching you. And that's a problem. You got to get fed up with trying to do stuff to get people's approval. You got to learn how to live this Christian life in a relationship with the Christ. Amen. That I might know him and that I might know the power of his resurrection, that I might know the fellowship of his sufferings being made. Now notice, now you can be made conformable unto his death. The fellowship of his suffering. Remember, I defined that for you. In this word fellowship, it comes from an old Greek word, koinonia, which means a giving and receiving. If you go out to lunch to somebody and you fellowship with them, they got a part of that fellowship at the lunch, and you have a part of that fellowship at the lunch. There's a giving that comes from you and a receiving from the other, and a giving that comes from the other and a receiving from you. That's what fellowship is all about. Well, he says that we ought to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. That means that we're not going to suffer the same way Jesus suffered. Jesus's part of the fellowship of his suffering is this. He suffered to obtain the victories that we didn't have. He suffered so we can now have healing. He suffered so we can now be made righteous. He suffered because now we can be made whole, okay? Now, he's not expecting for us to go through the same suffering to try to get what he's already gotten. That wouldn't make sense. He suffered because he needed to get what we didn't have. So we already have everything that pertains to life and godliness. So what's my part of the fellowship of the suffering? His part was to die to get the victory. My part is to maintain the victory that he died to get for me. So that means Satan's job is to see if he can stop you from holding on to what Jesus obtained. Our job, maintain. Maintain righteousness. All right, I'm born again, now I'm the righteousness of God. Now all hell is coming against me to try to convince me that I am not righteous. So the attack for you daily is gonna be in your mind, trying to change the way you think. Because if he can change the way you think, if he can get you to quit believing in your mind, then you'll see it translated in your life. If he can work on you enough to say, for you to say, I don't believe I'm righteous. Uh-oh, I don't believe I'm redeemed. I don't believe I'm holy. If he can do that either through religion or hard times, then he has become very successful in stopping you from maintaining the victory that he died to obtain. So understand how to play the chess game. It ain't about who did something to you at work. It's about the devil trying to get you to change your mind about the victory that Jesus died to obtain. So every day you wake up, you're waking up believing what Jesus has obtained for you. I believe I'm healed, even though when you're hurting. I believe I'm healed, even though you're sick. I believe I'm righteous, even though you acted a fool last week. I believe I'm redeemed, even though it don't seem like you're redeemed. That's the whole game. Can he convince you through a variety of ways that you are not what he said you are? You know the greatest fear that a believer can have is to be afraid that what Jesus said, to be afraid that what Jesus promised is not true. That's the greatest fear. I am afraid that what he said about me being righteous is not true. That's the biggest fear you can have. I am afraid what he said about me being delivered is not true. And so you fall one crazy time and Satan say, see there, if you was really like he said, then you wouldn't have failed that time. Don't let the devil do you like that. When he talks that kind of stuff, you say, hey, devil, it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. I fail today, but I'm like Micah tomorrow. When I fall, I shall arise. Don't rejoice too quick, devil. It ain't over yet. I have not finished my journey. When my journey is not, and that's the attack. That's the spiritual attack. Satan has a meeting with his demons every day to come up with a strategy to try to knock you off what you're standing on. Unlike us, Satan strategizes on how to defeat you. And you've got to say, I am not defeated. Satan is a defeated foe. That's the thing. He's trying to convince you of what's true about him. Now, this is what's true about you. You're the one who was kicked out of heaven. You're talking about yourself. And it frustrates the devil when you keep responding in a way that contradicts what he's trying to get you to fear. And every night you can go to bed knowing I defeated the devil again. He tried to make me think I was no good, but I am. He tried to make me think I'm not holy, but I said I'm holy. I felt a little funny when I said I'm holy, but I'm gonna say it anyway. I'm not saying I'm holy because I feel holy. I'm saying I'm holy because he said I'm holy. I'm saying I'm holy because he died to make me holy. I'm saying I'm holy because that's the victory that I got. Be careful of the religion that's going forth today that tells you you messed up so bad that you got to forget everything Jesus has done for you. That's when you remember it. That's when you remember it. I just want to just make the devil tremble. Could everybody shout, I'm the righteousness of God now? Okay, now watch this. This is really unusual in church. But would you say out loud, I'm holy right now?
I'm holy right now.
All right, some of y'all struggled a little bit. What? No. How many of you believe that you're holy right now? Now, why? You're not holy because of what you have done to be holy. See, we're no longer living through us. We are now living through Him. I'm not living through me. I'm living through Jesus Christ. I am whatever Jesus is. See, the only reason I'm righteous right now is because Jesus is righteous. If Jesus wasn't righteous, I wouldn't be able to be righteous. But because Jesus is righteous, I'm righteous. And somebody said, yeah, but you misbehaved last week. Yeah, but as long as Jesus is all right, I'm all right. Whenever you think you ain't all right no more, check in with Jesus. Jesus, you all right? Yeah, I'm all right. That means you still all right. And as long as he all right, you all right. As long as he holy, you holy. As long as he's righteous, you righteous. So since we find purpose in suffering, and that purpose is to be conformed into the image of Christ, the question is, should we not resist the suffering? Should we not resist the tribulation and the persecution and the pain? Should we just tolerate it for our good and glory? No, I'm not going to tolerate anything from the devil or anything from life. Just because discomfort comes doesn't mean you have to just take it. I ain't gonna sit there and just take something that's not my victory. Well, does God mind if you drink a little Mad Dog? See, you're asking the wrong question. The question is, do I want to be a slave to anything? I'm getting ready to fight. Because in the midst of the discomfort, that's how I grow. If I'm lifting weights and I'm trying to build muscle, it ain't gonna do me good to lift a broomstick every day. Somebody got to apply some pressure. And when that pressure comes and I resist that weight, the heavier it gets, the more I resist, the more I develop. So bring it on, devil. I bench pressed the trouble you threw at me last month. I'm a little stronger this month. Add it on. Slap it on there. Bring it on. This is a little rough. I'm going to need a, watch this, I'm going to need a spotter. And Jesus is always there to spot you. Jesus is there to spot you. And he going to stay there to spot you until you can do it yourself, which means I've developed. Get out of this little thing. As Christians, we're not supposed to have no problems. You're not supposed to have no hard time. Ain't nothing bad supposed to happen to you. And if it does, then you ain't no real Christian. That is tomfoolery. That's a bunch of crock. Honey, when stuff happens in your life, that's an opportunity for you to grow. That's an opportunity for you to bust up more demons. That's an opportunity for you to get stronger and stronger and stronger until you done got so strong the devil don't even want to fool with you no more. The devil got to have a mean to vote to see if anybody want to stop by your house. And they say, who want to go in there today? Oh, I ain't going in there today. I went in there last week, and I tell you what, they shouted, they never would shut up saying hallelujah. They kept dancing, they kept shouting. I thought I had them, and I thought because some tears were coming out of their eye, and I realized they were crying because they were enjoying whooping my tail. I ain't going in that house no more. The Bible says he seeketh whom he may devour, which means he can't devour everybody, hallelujah. And you ought to be the people that he has to talk about whether or not they want to mess with you today. And I'm telling you, world changers, the devil is getting fed up messing with you because he can't defeat you. He can't knock you down. He can't get you to say I'm broke. He can't get you to say I'm sick. We're gonna resist. We're gonna resist. It ain't over till it's over.
And as long as you got breath in your body, honey, maybe you didn't see it last week. Maybe you didn't see it last month. But you don't have to see it to believe it. That's what's so special about us. We don't necessarily have to see the manifestation to know we already got the manifestation. See, we're not confessing something to try to get something to come to pass. We're confessing it because Jesus has already gotten it to come to pass. And what we say because we believe it. We want to mess the devil up because he can't believe we're saying this. Hallelujah. All the pain and all the sickness and all the shame and all the stuff you done went through, and you got the mitigated gall to stand up in front of somebody and declare that you are the righteousness of God. Well, I'm going to shout today, I'm tearing something up. I'm tearing something up because God been too good to me. Hallelujah. God been too good to me for me to sit back and deny what the grace of God has made available to me. I am not going to disregard it. I'm not going to be quiet about it. I'm not going to act like it didn't happen. I'm going to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I'm going to praise him anyhow. I'm going to say, glory to God. My God, it ain't over with yet, devil. You hit me with another shot, but when sin abounds, y'all don't hear what I just said. When sin increases, grace is gonna increase more. And when sin increases, grace is gonna increase more. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. Sin, no matter how much of it you do, will never be greater than God's grace. Now, you religious folks, you got a problem with that because you have more faith in sin's ability to send you to hell than you have faith in grace's ability to send you to heaven. Sin ain't never gonna outdo God's grace. Do you actually think that your crazy is more powerful than grace? Taff and I were having a conversation yesterday. It was profound. She said, people concerned about, oh, Lord, about people. Taff, where is she at? What are you talking about? People concerned about don't taking advantage. What was taking advantage of? Come on, help me, baby. Help me.
Real quick. So there's this belief or theory that you can abuse grace. And so the thinking is because you are under grace, and if you keep sinning, you are being abusive. And so the more you sin, the more you are being abusive to God. And so there's this concept that in relationships, we see God as a human in terms of being abusive. We don't see his nature of being spiritual, and his character is that of, you can't compare human relationships with our heavenly relationship.
Did you know that Jesus endured suffering for us so that he could be with us in our struggles? Grasping this truth is essential to not only receiving God's blessings, but holding on to them in maintaining your victory in the midst of discomfort. Creflo Dollar reveals the defining traits of successful Christians.
He suffered to obtain the victories that we didn't have.
He suffered so we can now have healing. He suffered so we can now be made righteous. He suffered because now we can be made whole. When stuff happens in your life, that's an opportunity for you to grow. That's an opportunity for you to get stronger and stronger and stronger. God wants to mature you.
With a love gift of $12 or more, download this powerful teaching today. Just call the number on your screen, scan the QR code, or visit www.creflodollarministries.org and click eStore. Embrace God's love for you.
Are you a woman who knows her worth? A woman ready to break barriers? This is your moment.
We are the innovators, the leaders,
the trailblazers,
the entrepreneurs, the change makers.
Join us for Taffy Dollar's Women's Conference, March 20th through the 21st, 2025, where radical women just like you come together to embrace their authentic selves and ignite real change in the world. This isn't just another conference. It's a gathering of powerful women who are unapologetically themselves, ready to revolutionize lives. We'll share stories, strategies, because when we know our worth, we are unstoppable. Don't miss this opportunity to connect, grow, and step into your power together. Taffy Dollar's Women's Conference, March 20th through the 21st, 2025. Be real, be radical, be ready to make history. Register today and join the revolution.
Everything in God's kingdom works by faith. Now, I remember when Taffy and I started giving, it was a painful thing to give because we didn't have much at all financially. However, we made a decision to be givers. And one of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible is John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. Therefore, as Christians, we give. Our giving is an expression of our love. And when you support Creflo Dollar Ministries financially, you are giving to our efforts to spread the gospel all over the world. And in addition to helping millions who are hurting and have vital physical needs, pray about what God would have you to sow at this time. We want to thank you in advance for your support.
To support the vision of this ministry to reach the world with the gospel of grace, you may call in to make your financial donations or log on to creflodollarministries.org. God bless you.
Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe. The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.